Award for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Welcome, everyone, here to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. We're very excited to welcome Keith Keller on the show. Keith knows everything about Twitter marketing. He's one of the world's leading authorities on it. And he's also got a podcast series called Crack the Twitter Code. He's got his virtually unlimited TV series coming out as well. And I got to meet him on a networking party, because it wasn't like a typical networking situation, Keith. That was like a party. And I think that's kind of where we're going these days in networking and social media, that we're going to actually all connect anywhere around the world, because you're in Melbourne today. Well, that's where you live, Melbourne, Australia. And we're in Florida in the backwoods, so with storms. So if we go out, you know where we are. And I know you can't come get us. But anyway, welcome. How are you?
Look, don't you love it? I mean, it's we're so far away. It's actually tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, that's because
it's actually Tuesday morning here. We're so far away. I mean, it's crystal clear. Like, I'm using the internet here in my house, and you could be in the next room. In fact, you two are in the same room, and it's just as clear. And I'm across the world.
See? That's incredible when you think about it.
It really is pretty cool. I mean, you think about social media and you think about all the things now that everybody's been mad and angry politically. There's, social media, like, screw Facebook, turn it off and everything. But at the end of the day, we really are all connecting in some ways. We were just talking about this before, during our rainstorm and thunderstorm and lightning, before we finally got to record this with you. The amount of friends we have made on social media that we are very close with, that we are slowly getting to meet in person, but through social media have these really close connections, real friendships.
Well, I've never been to Florida. I mean, I've never been to Florida, and within the next 12 months, I have no intention of going. But so we may never have ever met, other than at that really cool party, which we used a site called Run the World. And there's a lot of these sites, and that's what I do all day. I experiment with different sites that people haven't heard about. And then when I find one I really like, I do a blog post about it, or I go on a show and we'll talk about it today, or I do a live stream, or I share what I learn. But I only share the good stuff. You don't want to hear all the failed experiments.
No.
101 light bulbs I didn't make.
Finger in the Twitter blender. No, but listen, Twitter, I really want to touch on this, because that is like your big thing is Twitter. And, everyone talks about Instagram's a new thing, and it's always these new trends about which is the big one. Oh, Facebook is the, always going to be there. But there's something about Twitter I've always loved from day one. I didn't do Facebook until I did Twitter before Facebook. And I love it because you can connect with actual companies and people and everybody. It's kind of just like this open
people
format, and no limits on how many people you're allowed to friend, or you know what I mean? It just seems very, just, censor yourself once in a while. So why for friendlier. You, what was it for you with Twitter that got you stuck in that? That's my format, your main thing.
Yeah. Well, it's actually uniquely this show. I've never seen such synergy here. We did a blog talk radio show in 2008. Mm. And I was so proud of that show. It was a career show. Every Monday morning, 10 a.m., we would give career advice. Hate your job, listen to our show. We've got some tips. Here's how to write a resume. Here's what to say in an interview. Here's how to network. Here's how to get the job in your local area. And we did this show every Monday morning for 2 years on Blog Talk Radio. And I had the idea that because I'm so proud of this show, I want everyone in the world to hear it, everyone. And at the end of the day, we were listened to in 127 countries. I'm very, very proud of that.
That's
and
cool.
So when I was starting in 2008, I said, I'm just going to try each of the networks sequentially and do the exact same experiment on all of these networks. Instagram wasn't available. Google Plus has come and gone since then.
Right.
But we had Facebook, we had LinkedIn, we had an audio track with an image on it over and put it into YouTube, and then we tried Twitter. We did the exact same clip on four platforms religiously for about a month. And one particular show, bam, 1,800 downloads overnight from one tweet.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, whoa, let's see if we can do that again. And we did. And we tried the exact same format on Facebook and on LinkedIn and YouTube, and nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Isn't that
so
funny?
I thought, ooh, you know, I personally have found something that, you know, works. So I started to drill in. I really started to drill in. And then someone else came up with the idea, crack the code with Keith Keller. I said, well, geez, that sounds pretty funky. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
And we did an event, crack the Twitter code with Keith Keller. And I said, oh, geez, you've got me thinking. So I came up with a 10-point plan, my 10 favorite tips, which is actually what my podcast is. I've got a podcast about this, 10 things you can do with Twitter. It's a completely free thing on SoundCloud. And so because, like you've just asked me, well, how do you do it? Why do you do it? People kept asking me, why do you do Twitter? So I started getting speaking gigs, and then I started getting podcast interviews, and then I started getting asked to speak on live streams. So then I did a book, a little ebook. And then I thought, okay, well, that's it. I'm going to be the dude. I'm going to be the dude that's famous for being on Twitter. Because I can't do everything. I can't do Instagram and LinkedIn and Google Plus. Google had three goes at it. I don't know if you know this. Google Buzz, Google Wave, Google Plus. They all failed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't keep up with all these new things. And I know this is exactly what small businesses think. So I decided to get good at one thing, Twitter. And I got really, 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 really good at it. And now I'm the dude that talks about Twitter. And it's been going since 2006. Still 300 million people use it every day. It's such a thumping place. And it's just really good for sharing your story. I mean, it's just unbeatable for that.
It's fast.
I still haven't found a site that beats it.
Yeah, you can connect. Yeah. I love Twitter. It is really, truly my favorite social media. And then I had to divert to Facebook because we got emails when we'd send our newsletter out. And our newsletter goes out to over 300,000 people. Please be on Facebook. Please be on Facebook. I go on Facebook. I'm like, oh, okay. And we have Facebook groups. And then I got kicked off of Facebook, famously, thank you to being hacked through another video website. No, it was not porn.
Another site. You might need to pick up here, Nancy, if we lose a little bit of the signal.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting.
It's, we were looking at a video processing firm that we were using, and they got hacked. And from them being hacked, somehow Lisa got hacked. I didn't, but she did. And it's a good thing, because so I could carry on where she got hacked. And then Facebook just, thank you, Facebook, for not having a phone number, not having any representative who can help you when you need help. You suck. I'm just saying. From a customer service point of view, no, really. They just took her down over and out, and that was that.
Yeah, and I
all
sent
her followers,
in, I sent in.
All the stuff that we have done for years just went right out the window.
Let me pick up on that, Nancy. Can I just say something about what you've
go
just
ahead.
Said there?
Yeah.
When we were first doing our show on Facebook, on Blog Talk Radio, I've been on this bandwagon for at least that time. Mm-hmm. We've always said never, ever have one only platform, and never, never say to the world, I'm just on Facebook, don't ask me about a website, I don't have an email address, I'm not doing Twitter, I'm not doing live streaming, because what happens if that one platform decides to change the rules and says, you know what, guess what, we don't like those pictures you put up there, so from now on you can't post pictures, and then we're just going to close you down because we decided. And they did, didn't they?
But who does business with a company who doesn't have a phone number? that you can access and fund.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Because people are spending advertising money on all of these platforms.
I would never buy a Facebook ad if they don't give me a phone number.
Sorry, we have.
Yeah, you got to have backup, haven't you?
Yeah.
We have.
And
we
I'm not against Facebook. I'm just saying that it cannot be, you really can't put all your eggs in one basket called Facebook.
Yeah. That's actually a common story. I mean, small businesses, because they're busy, because their core business is not marketing, their marketing is this add-on they give to the niece or the, you know, the grandchild. Ooh, and can you just run some Facebook ads for me? Because I'm too busy making the stuff and selling things. I want to learn. So Facebook is fine, 2 billion users, but there are certain type of user. And the thing that's interesting about the social networks, and that's why there's so many of them. Like I don't use Facebook myself. I never use it. I don't like it. But I've tried it, and I've got a Facebook account, and it's there, but I hardly ever use it because it doesn't suit my headspace. Yeah. I'm a 50-something guy living in Australia. I just gave away a bit of a trade secret there.
Oh, everybody. Send him a birthday card.
I've got a particular way of view on the world, and Facebook doesn't really share that view. So Twitter's a thing, LinkedIn's a thing, Instagram's a thing, and these are all different groups of people.
Right.
Yeah. So if you've got a particular type of product, you need to ask yourself, well, who is buying my product and where do they hang out? Like TikTok. Mm. I mean, I don't use TikTok. It's not my age group. It's 13 to 18-year-olds, maybe 12 to 20-year-olds, or maybe.
Yeah. But, they do not want to see me dance. Maybe when I was in my 20s or earlier.
That's right. I don't want to dance in my jammies. There's no way I'm dancing in my jammies.
I want to come on. I like to dance.
We all have to dance in our jammies.
It picks up on what you're saying there, that a lot of people want to just do one thing.
Well, the thing, Keith, you're doing Twitter, so no matter what, you put your eggs in a basket there, but you're still aware of what's happening in all the other social media platforms because you're always testing things. You're always looking at things. I mean,
well, I've got a couple of stats you might be interested in about that.
Yeah.
So in as much as you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, it might sound like a bit of a duality, but I do focus on one because I want to get good.
Yes.
But I've also got a LinkedIn account which has like 800 million users. And the demographics, this is very, very interesting. The demographics for Twitter are quite similar to the demographics for LinkedIn. Mm. It's just a different format, a little bit. I find LinkedIn a bit boring.
Yes.
I still use it. But it has 800 million users, and it's a very similar demographic to Twitter. So chances are, this happens more often than not, if someone follows me on Twitter, I ask them, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn anyway. It's good to have both. And they often have both, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really interesting, which you might find fascinating, is that people who like listening to podcasts are also a group of people that like Twitter. There's a strong synergy between people that love listening to podcasts and this group of people that love Twitter. So I am on Twitter, but I also have a podcast and I also have a LinkedIn account. Mm. And this year, just this year or beginning of last year, I started experimenting with live streaming, this idea of using video but live rather than pre-recorded. It's very scary to start with, but once you get your head around it, people are going, man, I can actually call in. It's like a radio show. Yeah. So I can do I love live streaming. That's my current fascination. So I'm doing a live show and someone's calling in and I can put their comments on the bottom of the screen live during the show.
Mm.
So what that does is the content changes. We might have a set of preconditioned questions, but someone might call in from, you know, Albuquerque and say, hey, look, I've got a question. I've got a question about Instagram. And suddenly you're sort of obliged to answer that question. So the actual whole vibe of the show shifts.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's organic. It's live. It's moving.
It's authentic. So
it's real. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you start the show with a couple of questions and a bit of an idea, but the show is governed by the viewers. Mm. It's very exciting.
You know, Jack White, the musician, does that.
Yeah.
He goes He doesn't have a set list. He goes in and he lets the audience dictate how the show is going to happen, what he's going to play. Because he's like, this is a live entity when you have all these energies in a place. And that's the same thing to us. You know, when we have guests on the show, they want questions. You're like, what question are you going to ask? Well, just come on the show. It's going to just happen.
Yeah.
It's like, we all know what we're talking about. Yeah. If you think about it, we all know what we all know. And we're going to learn something from each other. And our audience is the same way. It's that synergy of let it be real. And I think that's important. And I think social media at some point has lost a little bit of that. You know, it's, there's a selfie thing, but be real. It's over filtered and over makeup. Yeah. I mean, listen, people, you're never going to see so much makeup on me. It's just not going to happen. No, so sorry.
People
you're stuck
really
want
to know when they come. So the listeners for our show are interested in who the person behind the painting is, who is the person behind the recipe, who's the person behind the book. They really, I know PR firms send us all, these are the questions that you should ask. And some of them, of course, you need to have the basic information. But what our readers really want to know is a little bit more insider knowledge.
When
an author comes on and they say, oh, I have this Pekingese dog that I have to walk twice a week, they're more interested in that than what the PR company tells. They want personal. They want to like the person. They won't buy the book if they don't like the person. They want to like the person. So they want to be on the inside of that person. Like, they want to know the person's just kind of sort of like they are.
That's right. Of course they do. And they are. The thing is that they are.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how you sell a book.
That's the real secret.
That's how you sell a book. That's how you sell a movie. That's how you sell anything. It's like,
connectivity.
Other person needs to know you are like them.
So the best interviews ever are the ones that where, you know, you get them on a tangent, and you just let them riff. You know, I've seen interviews where this young intern has just read a series of questions they've been given on a piece of paper, and they don't even flow from the question. They don't even let them finish the question. They've just got their set of questions to ask. Yeah. But the really great interviews are when they go, hey, you just said something, a Pekingese dog. What does that mean? What color is it? What's his name? What's her name? Where did you get it? What does it eat? Is it small? Does it yap a lot? Does it sleep a lot? Is it noisy? You know? And all those questions are human.
Well, look at, we had Willie Nelson.
I just riffed on just a whole series of questions about a Pekingese dog.
I know. Willie Nelson's son was on our show.
That's right, they're cute.
They're so cute.
Willie Nelson's son was on our show. Lucas Nelson, an amazing musician, everyone. He's just an amazing musician and human being. And he was on our show. And he was on tour with Shooter Jennings, Waylon Jennings' son. And they were off on their bus and he calls in. And I was like all nervous because we had somebody else. I had to get them off and make it all work on the live thing. And he gets on. He's like, can you hear me okay? We're like, yeah, we can hear you. We had this intense conversation that was supposed to be 10, 15 minutes. He was on an hour and we went over time and he was still on there and carrying on. And he talked about things like, example, his father being tied up and by ropes and forks to a bed. His ex-wife tied him up to a bed. This is Willie Nelson. And it was about us just having a normal conversation. So this is the kind of thing I want to go back to, the whole social media thing, that it is about networking. You put out a poll about networking, and now we don't have to talk about knives and forks and being tied to a bed, though that's funny. But it is about actually being human and being social. And I think sometimes we forget, we're so busy get this post out. It's got to be perfectly sales marketing. We're not connecting enough on social media. And I think Twitter does have a really good way of connecting. You talked about networking. You didn't put Alignable on your list. Why is Alignable not on your list on that poll that you did about where's the networking spot?
Now, I was going to ask you about that. Is that a site? I've never heard of it.
Really? Alignable is like the anti...
Is that a site? Pin. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, Alignable. Okay, I'm going to invite you to Alignable because I do nothing but just accept friend requests on there and just once in a while realize I got to update stuff. But this is the thing. If you get used LinkedIn, same thing. I just done there.
You can't do them all.
You can't do them all.
That's what it is.
It is. And Twitter, to me... Like I said, when I went on to Facebook, I kind of diverted, but Twitter is still my favorite spot because you can do anything, you know, other than they won't let you do videos longer than 20 minutes, except for Periscope.
Let me pick up on this idea. I get, and as you would imagine, everyone does, I get all these interviews, all these emails, come and join me on ...
Yeah.
Alignable. Yeah. Up until today, I'd never heard of this site. So I'll have a look at it and I go, well, there's another one I've got to sign up for.
Yeah.
And I've already got Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube and I've got an Instagram account and I've got a bunch of my emails and I've got to cook dinner and go for a walk and I've got to get some sleep and I've got to do the washing and the mowing of the lawn and, you know, I've got to put the compost out. And somewhere in there I've got to, you know, be a nice person to everyone else. So... I've got a fairly strict policy that I try to have three on the go at any one time. My wife still uses Facebook and DMs me on the train to say on the way, and we send each other little gifs with, you know, dogs kissing. And there's another big sort of trade secret. But the point is that's how we communicate. She's on the train. Yeah. She doesn't want to ring me. Hey, I'm on the train. Get dinner on. I'm ready. I'll be home in an hour. So I just use that for personal stuff for me, and I'd never market there. I use LinkedIn, I use Twitter. If, other than this conversation, someone had sent me an email saying, please join me on Alignable, I said, well, okay, I've never heard of this site, and now I've got to join another one.
Yeah, see, it's like,
but that's where we're at. And then we have the mighty networks where we're trying to do our own community for people that are bailing half of the social media sites because they're mad at politics or who's doing what or the algorithms are stealing your information. So we did that and we still have it. But it's a very, like, where are we going with all of this? Like, where do you think, can we get to a point of actual communication? I think we're there. And I talked about creating friends, and it's about communication. I mean, I just, every Friday, Titty Bingo. Okay, and sorry for the language, but it's a band name. It's a Willie Nelson family band. And they always put out a question every Friday, and they tag us all. How do you keep up with everybody on Twitter unless you tag everybody? And that's what Twitter doesn't limit that. We're allowed to just sit and tag people we want to connect with or say, "This, hey, I got a book out. This is what's going on. You may be interested." They don't. To me, it's like a free market. On Twitter, it is like going to the marketplace, the old school.
It's very interesting you say that because they are addressing that.
Uh-oh.
But you mentioned, you asked a big question, and this is a really good point. You asked a really big question, where is this going? Because the average person in the street that runs a shop and spends all their day at the shop and then they go home and cook a meal for their daughter who's at school, who needs school books and shoes and a dress and a school excursion, they don't have time to try Alignable or Clubhouse or Twitter Spaces. So where I think it's going, and I'm happy to be quoted on this, it's July 2021. I think in 2022, we're going to see a series of sites like StreamYard. And the reason I love StreamYard is because StreamYard, you record the show once and you send it to 8 places. You record it once. You only have to invest 1 hour of your time and then you send it to the places where your tribe hangs out. Mm. You can have 3 for the basic plan and 8 for the pro plan, which is $50 a month. What I think will happen is that we'll start making content consciously ourselves and then distributing it. So that what we're doing is we're managing our time, and there's never, ever enough time. But the point is you manage one show once a week, you send it to eight places, and then for the rest of the week you're collating all the data that says, oh, that was a good show. What are you talking about next week? Well, here's the link to the next week's show. Why don't you come on and have a chat? Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of my time finding these really great automation tools, because I know that, like everyone else in the world, we're all busy and there's not enough hours in the day. And what usually happens is you don't eat enough, or you don't sleep enough, or all the things that are really important, you just drop off because they're personal. Sleeping.
Good point.
You know, sleeping in, going out for breakfast, having time with your wife, exercising. These are all things that get lost because there's all these other things that have to be done, so to speak. So my gut feeling, it already happens with StreamYard, but my gut feeling is that all different verticals, podcasting, say, they're going to have a series of sites that syndicate your content because it's much more time efficient. And the thing that's really interesting about that is that you're giving your audience a chance to find you in the place that suits them.
Right.
Yes.
I just got LinkedIn Live last week, and so my shows will now be on LinkedIn Live. LinkedIn has a live version. So prior to that, I would have had to do a show on LinkedIn, and that's, hello, here I am. Then I'd have to go over to Periscope and do another show. Then I'd have to go over to YouTube and do another show. And that's three shows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now I'm doing one show once a week, 10 a.m. Thursdays. That's my live streaming day. And because it's time efficient, the sense of freedom means that the quality of the content is better.
Yeah.
Like I remember once, so this is a really key point. I remember once there was a friend of mine that had six different cameras on a stand, and she was syndicating her content before this tech came out. And you didn't know where she was looking, because she goes, hello, Instagram. Hey, where are you today? Hello, Twitter. How are you? Hello, Facebook. How are you? Hello, LinkedIn. Hello, YouTube. Hello, Twitch.
Oi.
Hello, this. Hello, that. She at one stage had eight shows going on.
Hello.
Yeah.
And but, I never got a sense that I was talking to her. She was always talking to someone else.
But this is interesting because of the syndication, which has been there. I mean, even on Blog Talk, we've all had that syndication part. And I remember doing a recording once in a winery in Central California. We were recording someone, and it was a winemaker or something. We were saying, well, it goes on here, and then it goes, syndicates out. And I remember someone going, I heard someone at the back of my ear, because I'm really good at that, and it's dangerous. It's always a dangerous thing. And I heard them going, there's no such thing as syndication in that kind of thing. And I wanted to turn around and say, shut up! That's not how it works. This is how it works. So you don't know what you're talking about. Because it does syndicate out. It does distribute. It's the RSS feeds, which are changing too. It is interesting. And you have more control now in this kind of RSS feed world than we did back then. Back then, Blog Talk, I'm using them as an example. Oh, we did this for you. How great. But you had no control of it. Now you open your own accounts. You say, I want it to go here. If something goes wrong, back to the eggs in the basket, you can pull it. And you can say, okay, I'm going to move it here. So things have really changed.
Why that's really important is... Why that's really important with StreamYard, based on cost and time. So let's use StreamYard as an example. StreamYard has a service where for $25 a month you can send it to three places in standard definition, or for $50 a month you can send it to eight places in high definition.
Man, you love this StreamYard. He loves this.
I do love it. I do. It's my favorite site. And the question there is, do I want to spend $50 a month? I mean, that's a lot of money for someone who's got to pay kids' school fees and you've got to choose between shoes and marketing. I mean, of course you're going to choose kids' school shoes because they need school shoes. Right? And you're not going to stop putting food on your family's table just to do a radio show. So these shows are all governed towards price points. So for three sites, it costs you $25. So the question there is, well, which three sites am I getting the best bang for my buck?
Yeah.
Like for me, I don't get any hits on Facebook when I send it to Facebook, never. So I stopped doing it.
Well,
So now I can add LinkedIn where Facebook was. And if LinkedIn doesn't work, I'll try something else.
Yeah.
So right. I've got three places, Periscope, YouTube, LinkedIn. If they don't work, I can mix it up. But I've got to take charge of statting that. Mm-hmm. And I'll get back to you next time we do a part two, and because I would have done LinkedIn Live. And, you know, I love the idea that I'm doing this one show and someone's watching the show on LinkedIn in Albuquerque or Turkey or, you know, mm-hmm. Azerbaijan, and they're going, Keith, I'm in such and such, and bang, 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 I'm making a comment and I put it up on the screen. It comes along like a little banner like CNN. Such and such is enjoying the show in Azerbaijan. And, you can shout out to them.
That's cool.
I think
And the other, I've got a secondary idea there in regards to the question, where is this going? Yeah. Mm. Because you came onto our event, which Doyle ran. So Doyle and I worked in syndication, in sync with each other. What I do is I do a weekly show on SoundCloud.
Tell everybody how to get there. Give everybody the website link and everything.
It's virtuallyunlimitedtv.com.
There you go.
Oh.
No .au.
And so basically once a week I've decided just .com because it's easy to get the .com. So virtuallyunlimitedtv.com is where all of the shows will show up in the YouTube format.
Right. Cool.
That's where I've decided to create a YouTube playlist. Yeah. And then once a month, Doyle and I pick one of those shows where we run an event.
Yes.
Right. So I'll do a show every week and then we'll have a chat and go, oh, this show is really popular. Let's do an event about that.
Yeah.
So once a month, people that have watched the show but never really got a chance to ask the deeper questions can then come to our event and talk to us in person.
That's cool.
For free. And that was using a site called Run the World. And so I think where this is all going is that you start very broad, but then you always have this feeling that, oh, look, I want to bring my tribe together. Mm-hmm. So we run an event, usually the last Thursday of the month. We've got this month planned and we're working on the next one. And we just basically pick one of the shows that have been on the free site, you know, the free stream, and then we make it an event. At this stage, they're still free.
That's cool.
But as you know, there's costs, so we may eventually have to start charging for that just to recoup our costs. But at this stage, it's just a fun chat once a month, and you've been on them. They're great, aren't they? They're like a networking party.
I like the happy hour part. Go figure.
The after party.
But you have the networking part, which I think is great. What I want to know is, like, you're doing like we all do podcasting and everything, but for the business owner, you were talking about the here's, you know, the lady out there with her shop and getting the kids ready and, you know, they're busy. Should shop owners, for example, the small business, harness the podcasting outlets? We put a lot on our shows because we feel like, okay, you've got a spot, you can do something. You don't have to have the overhead and the time. But I think people do. I mean, I know restaurants that do a live stream here and there. This is what's the special. So, like, we got the specials, Nancy. We like the specials. You know, you got to have these different.
I like the specials.
I know. She loves the specials. But I think
let's pick up on the idea of a person that's running a shop. Pick up on that. So someone's running a shop, a fashion shop, a dress shop, a book shop, a record shop, a restaurant, a food shop, if you like. And they've got kids at school and they've got school fees. And this is very important because that's the driving force. You've got to put shoes on the feet. You've got to put food in the mouth. You've got to buy those books. That's why you're there, right? So we know for sure this is really interesting stats. In general, the population, 40% still like to read. So blogging is still a thing.
Yes.
People like to print it out. I do it. You print it out and you go, this is a really cool article about video, how to make your videos better. And it's all printed out and I'll get a cup of coffee and I'll read it and I go, oh, geez, I didn't know that. So the people still read blogs and I still read them. Mm-hmm. So every day I scour the internet for the latest trends and I print that article. So 40% of people still do that. 40% of people are now starting to watch this because I can see you. I get you straight away. I don't know who's written this article. I don't get a sense of who's written this article. Yeah, it's like TV, and I get to sense you.
Yeah.
So video is very powerful for the shop owners to say, hey, we've got a shop. And today we might give away half price lattes, or come in and Starbucks did this. You know, come in and order a special type of latte and you can have a free muffin. And as soon as the muffins run out, well, the special runs out. So just come in now. And if you get in by lunchtime, you'll probably get yourself a muffin for free. And if not, we'll come and say hello. And so they sold hundreds and hundreds of extra cups of coffee because they made it fun.
Yeah.
You know, come in and get a latte, and while you're there, grab a muffin on special. And they had a whole team dedicated to this. I paid a person, and their only job was to put out muffin tweets. Here's a tweet about today's muffin: white chocolate muffin, caramel latte. From muffin 10 to 12. I just made that up, but you know what I mean. $60,000
Do you remember when Twitter first started, how pop-up restaurants and food trucks made their living because of Twitter? They were doing their Foursquare thing, that Twitter was the way.
Oh, absolutely. I specifically tracked that.
That was the way people were able to say, we got a special on food trucks, not just Starbucks. I mean, it was down home, I'm parking here today. That's how food trucks got their start in this country.
Being able
to actually say what they had on special and where they were parking.
Take that example and sort of morph it over your business. Hey, look, you know, we run a bookshop and we've got a book reading today. We've got one of our very famous authors coming in at 12 o'clock. Why don't you come in and hear her reading her own book? Right. And if you buy it, she'll sign it at the end. No muffins today, but you'll get a free book. You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it could be a bookshop. It could be a takeaway. It could be a men's shop. It could be a shoe shop. It could be a – all you have to do is use that basic principle and say – at X number of time, this is what we're doing. Come in and say hello if you've got a physical shop. Yeah. Right. But what's more starting to happen, this is what I'm really excited about, what's more starting to happen is, look, we don't have a physical shop anymore, but you just click the link and we'll send it to you. Yes. My light cost me $40, right, this light that I bought. I've just got it out of the box.
I clicked the link. Show everybody your light. It was sent
to my house. You know, I found it on the internet. I clicked it. They sent it. Click and buy, we call it.
This is really, I have to go to Star Trek because Star Trek did it first. William Shatner in Star Trek did it first. He just somehow went into people's homes on that TV show. Like, oh, he went to different planets and talked to aliens. And I was like, dude, that's like the internet.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Beam me up.
Exactly.
There it is.
Because he had that big screen in front of him, and he would say something, and then it would be on the screen, and some alien would be talking to him. Like, dude, that's cool. That's exactly what the internet is now today.
It is, because a little communicator. Hey, Scotty, beam me up. This is 1964.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a mobile phone in 1964. Of course, none of the buttons worked, but someone made one. Yeah. And then they turned it into a flip phone, exactly like a Star Trek communicator. And then I've got one. Yeah. And then we suddenly made bigger phones and smaller phones. And then suddenly we got laptops and iPads and iPods.
And the big cell phones. So it all starts there. And listen, William Shatner is the best person to follow on Twitter, period. Hands down, he's the man. I love following William Shatner on Twitter. He is the funniest person. He won't do podcasts. He goes, why would I do a podcast when I can just tweet out your answers that you want and connect right here, right then? Why would I go and invest an hour when I can just be on Twitter? It's actually really interesting that he says that. He is the best person to follow. Do you follow him yet? You've got to follow him.
I am a Trekkie. I can't do the sign, but I am a Trekkie. I've watched all of the shows. I've watched the original series and all three variations.
This is very important. Up until Deep Space Nine, I know we're getting all serious about business on the internet, but William Shatner, that's it. We all have to stop. But going into this whole thing about everyone.
Well, I mean, the thing is, let's take the example of a shop.
Go ahead.
You go. No, you go.
I was going to say where you were talking about the internet. I know we've got like a internet delay here because we are in the backwoods of Florida through storms. But the whole thing, you know, COVID changed a lot. A lot of people left their business or their work and created businesses because out of need and necessity and maybe something that they were really wanting to do. And then, you know, situations say, okay, well, you know, there's no time like the present. So a lot of new businesses started up. And so there's also a big change happening in online commerce. People are that worked with Amazon and some of these bigger stores are starting to say, no.
Well, let me pick up on that. You want to pick up on this, Nancy? Because
go ahead,
the signal here is terrible.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Keith.
I've got a really good example. I've got a really good example of something that we can actualize today for a business that has a physical shop. When COVID hit in Melbourne, we were going out for breakfast every Saturday. Was our little routine. We'd go to this place and have a nice view and we'd have our toasted cheese sandwich and have a bit of a chat about my wife's job and how she's going and what happened and what should we do next week. And it was just really good quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And when COVID hit, we went back to them after the lockdown and we said, how you doing? Can we book a table? No, you just turn up. How long's the wait? Oh, about 45 minutes. You want me to wait in line for 45 minutes to get a toasted sandwich and a cup of coffee? Well, what else is there? Right. So, well, don't you have an app? Can't I book online? No, we don't do any of that. Just turn up. This is really important because any company that really is against technology is going to go away.
Yeah.
Because people just won't put up with it.
Yeah.
So coincidentally, this is a really good story because it happened at the same time. Another cafe opened up close to our house that we could walk to. And we thought, well, we'll go and have a look and we'll support them. And they said, don't worry. We'll tell you we've got a Facebook page and an Instagram account and we've got an app. So if you're not sure if we're open because of COVID, just, you know, book. And you bring your book. It takes you about 10 minutes. You book a table, you know what time you're sitting down, you know how long you can stay. They've got a copy of the menu and they send you an email to confirm it. And then if you actually book a couple of days ahead, they send you a very nice, gentle email the day before to say, hey, you're coming in tomorrow. Just let us know if you can't come because there's other people who want to come. But you're welcome to come and you can stay an hour and you've got plenty of time and you can stay for as long as you like, and have a second cup of coffee or whatever. And so if I had to choose... personally, if I had to choose between going to a place and not knowing if I was going to get in and if I could get in, I'd have to wait for 45 minutes in a line.
Right.
And then I had to choose between walking to the local place. I know what time I'm ordering. I know what the menu is. They send me an email to confirm. I mean, it's just no-brainer, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
So businesses need to embrace what the customer wants. The customer wants to know for sure that they can get what they have. They want to know what you have and they want to be able to buy it online. And it's a fact. It's just a fact.
And here's the thing, too. For some reason.
You go, Nancy.
Okay. For some reason, sometimes I have to be careful how I say this. Sometimes business owners feel that they know more than their customers, like they're more aware of things than their customers. And it really isn't true. Like you can have 10 customers walk into a coffee shop. They will all be different and have different abilities, different interests, but they all like coffee. And so you can't just blanket statement that my customers are all this. You really can't. And some of them are, they're there because you're the closest place or the only one open, or they're really loyal customers who really love what you do. And the times that you step outside of what they like, you better bring something better to the table because there's another shop 10 minutes down the road
That's right. And coffee shops are a very good example because there's four within walking distance of my house. Exactly. I can walk to four. I choose to go to them because I like them. They're nice. Mm-hmm. I can book ahead. But I can tell you for sure, I'm never jumping in the car to go to a place to sign to line up for 45 minutes. I'm never doing that.
We went through that.
They haven't picked up on that.
Yeah, we went through that during COVID as we travel the country. You know, you got to make reservations or, you know, be able to sit outside and it's limited. And it's even some of the attractions we've gone through that with gardens and they've limited how many people can go in and out, which is actually nicer. But it's about that communication. And others, like you're saying, just free for all.
Yeah.
You get there and you may have walked, which we've done. We've gone, like, we've stayed in historic downtowns and you physically walk for like 2 miles to get somewhere to be told, no, sorry, not today. You know, everybody else has got a booking. And how did you get a booking? Oh, you know, so we didn't do that. We didn't have that set up, but you're now out of food. If you're traveling, out of food, it's different than just going down by your house. When you're on the road and you don't have food, now that sucks. When you've been driving and everything's decided to close up. So, but that, and then your anger issue gets up there because it's you now are, you're mad in a way that you shouldn't be angry at that shop, but because of their lack. You're hungry. There's nowhere else to go. And what do they expect on reviews on Facebook and Yelp? And if they are not on any of those places, they are still there and they're not managing them. Everyone's talking about them and they have to handle that. So you're creating this extra scenario as a business owner of basically pissing people off. With your way of
What's the resistance though? Why you would know this? Why don't people do it? Is it too hard? Is it too costly? Are they too busy?
It's change. There are still restaurants in this country that don't accept credit cards because of the percentage. Yeah, okay. So you've got that kind of and you know, it's also kind of fun to go to those places where we cash only, we're old school. So you kind of want those places. You want the places to still have their mark and history too. So I'm not anti it, but there's a communication that should happen. And I think social media does it, but also whatever happens on social media should be on their website and should be in unison. And that's where we see a big gap in what people are doing. It's like if you hand out a resume, your LinkedIn page should say the same thing as your resume, right?
Yeah, of course.
But that's not what's happening a lot of time. And I think it's been really a hard year and a half for businesses and for, you know, career workers and, you know, everyone. But so, yes, give each other a breathing space and understanding over things. But if you're going to be on Facebook, use your Facebook page. If you're not going to be on Facebook, take it down. You know what I mean? There should be a thing of if you're on social media in certain avenues, work it. Don't let it be 2 years old.
Yeah, work it. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
it is hard. It is hard. And I understand the whole concept of change. But I think the most important thing to remember is even if you don't want to do it, your customers want you to do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, they'll just go somewhere else. I do. I go somewhere else. I'm hungry now. I can't be bothered walking for 20 minutes to see if you're open. I want to know now that I can get in and I just want to go there. I don't have anything against you. I don't have anything against the shop. I don't have any reason to doubt that you might be open. But I just don't want to take the chance because I'm hungry now.
Right.
And I just
want to get food.
And you're not calling them off of while they're waiting tables. You're not calling them away from a table. When you physically call a restaurant, you're asking them to pull away from a table or pull away from welcoming a guest in. You know, phone calls for a restaurant or a bar or even hotels, it's hard. So I think it's the internet and having that set up is really good. So when you're there, you have that in-person communication that is true hospitality.
Can I share an example that might be really useful for the hospitality trade? So there's a really cool app called Open Table.
Yes.
Right. It's very, and this is an amazing app, and I'll tell you exactly how it works because it's just off the charts amazing. So basically they charge $29 a month for you to be on the app, and they charge $3 for every table you book. Mm. And that sounds like a lot, but if you book 50 tables a day and they all spend $50, for the convenience of having them booking in advance, you've given them $150, but you've made whatever that is, $2,500.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't have got those bookings if it wasn't for the app. And this, so that's the first tier. If you really want to, I'm not, I don't work for them. I just, this is my StreamYard story, right? I just love it. But the way they do it, that's really clever, is if you're getting lots and lots of bookings, you can pay $97 a month and pay $1 a table. Man, how cool is that? You pay $100 a month for all of these bookings on the app. They manage it. They send you a report. This is how many bookings you had. This is the time that you were really busy. This is how much the average order was. You might need to buy more eggs, or you may maybe stock up more on sourdough bread, or actually fruit's not selling so well this week, so you probably don't need to buy as much as that. And so they give you this report of what they bought, how much they spent, what time they arrived, whether they arrive on time, did they check in, do you have repeat customers?
Inventory,
and it's cost you $100 a month, right? And it costs you $1 a table in a couple at a cafe is going to spend $50 on breakfast, I'm guessing, by the time you've had scrambled eggs and two cups of coffee. It's about $50. So that's my favourite app for the food industry. And they're obviously making money, but the point is it helps the cafe. And I can tell you for sure that I'm not going to a cafe I can't book ahead at. And I'm just an average guy in the street, right? I'm just not going to a cafe if you won't let me book ahead. Because I need to know I can get food.
You heard it.
We've all done that, haven't we? Walked for miles to get food.
You heard it here on Big Blend Radio.
But I tell you, I want to share this story. This,
it's important. It's true.
I want to share this story because this is my favorite story of all time. Like I'm prefacing this as my favorite piece of tech on the internet ever.
Okay.
So just to preface it, I used to work at a uni. I used to go for an hour and a half to go to a uni on the other side of the town. I used to have to get two trains.
Is a university for everyone that's not Australian, right?
A college.
Okay, making sure.
And I was a career counsellor at a college. And I used to teach and I used to help kids get jobs and find out things. Mm-hmm. Then we ran a blog talk radio show and I was talking to 1,800 people a day in the same time period that I would have been talking to 8 people in one day, no train travel. So use that premise and then map it over the guitar industry. My wife, because we had a really severe lockdown here, this is really important to know, for 120 days in Australia, Melbourne, Australia, you couldn't go more than 5 kilometres from your house, and there was a $200 fine if you didn't wear a mask. Now, I'm not going to debate whether that's good or bad, but it was a fact.
Wow.
And there was police around, and there was drones in the air, and it was a very oppressive environment.
Wow.
So, but we did get it down to zero. So my wife said, such a winner, my wife, she says, okay, I'm going to buy a guitar. I'm not watching Netflix for 6 hours a day just to kill time. I'm going to buy a guitar.
Yes.
In her mid-50s, she says, I've never played guitar before. I've never played an instrument before my whole life. I'm going to learn guitar.
Right on.
Right. So the reason why this is important is because she bought a guitar in her mid-50s with no knowledge of how to play guitar.
Cool.
Never played guitar before. Bought a book.
Right on.
Bought a book, right? It was hopeless. Yeah. The book was hopeless.
No.
Really hopeless.
No.
Because the point of view was the book, the person that wrote the book knows how to play guitar, but doesn't know how to teach you to play guitar, right? So what we did, this is really important. This is a very good story for any entrepreneur who wants to start a business. This person we found in London says, I'm going to teach you to play guitar on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So once a week, I'm going to have a little lesson for beginners, aimed at beginners.
Yeah.
So here's how you play the E chord. It's very simple. Just play this chord. Ding. Play it once. Play it for half an hour every day for a week. Come back next week and I'll teach you the A chord. All right. So Carol, every day, went to a YouTube, A chord, E chord, D chord, and after 3 weeks of religious practice, she could play three chords.
That's a big deal. And you could be a blues musician.
This is really, this is where it gets really, really cool. And this is what every business can do. Then what he said was, okay, this is a free YouTube channel, guys, right? And I've got a dog and I've got to pay rent and I've got to put petrol in my car. So I made an app. And I know you've been to guitar teachers and they charge $50 an hour. Well, this is $13 a month. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to find every song that I've ever heard of that has got those three chords and I'm going to record them for you so you can play along.
Sweet.
So we played the drums and the bass and the melody of the singing.
Oh, cool.
On an app that was $13 a month in an environment where guitar lessons are $50 an hour. Right? He has 1 million downloads of that app. 1 million people around the world have said, that's such a good idea, because what has he done? Yeah. It's not about him. It's about he knows that when you, when you want to learn guitar, my wife works in the city. It takes her an hour to get home and then we cook dinner and it's 8:30. She just wants to sit down for half an hour and play guitar when it suits her.
Yeah.
Right? So what he did was he said, we know that guitar lessons are $50 an hour, $25 for half an hour. I'm going to make this app $100 a year. $100 for a year.
Wow.
Download it when you want. Try it for free for a month, and then it's $100 a year. He's had 1 million downloads.
That's amazing.
Of that app.
That's awesome.
Now, that's a story that talks about what people want. Sure, you can still go to guitar teachers. I've got friends that teach guitar, but guess what? They've got no students because people don't want to go to people's houses anymore.
Yeah.
And my wife even doesn't go because she says, look, I get home at late. I put the app on. I put it, plug it into a speaker on my iPhone, and there it is. I'm playing, like she's playing Hound Dog.
Well,
she's playing, you know, all these cool songs that you could listen to on the radio.
Cool.
And she's playing guitar, having never played guitar before.
This is so perfect. That is so perfect. We
it's there for us. The tech is there.
Yeah, it's about taking it and thinking about how you can – You know, there's this whole thing about AI, and there's this commercial with Common. He goes, it's not about being scared of AI. It's about how you can use it. I'm not doing the right words, but it's true. It's about how do we utilize this? What is our path? Who are we in the world? What do we want? And what can we put out there? Because there's all these tools like apps, like you're saying. I mean, it's like, there's so many cool things you can do. It's about finding the right one and really working at it, because the guitar guy, like what he's doing is really amazing. Nancy and I used to teach organs, musical organs, like when we first got back to this country. Yeah. And it was all about exactly having that big band rhythm in the mood, having the background of in the mood, and you could do one finger in the mood, da, 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 you know, so people could learn through their song. So what he's doing is brilliant.
That's right. And you feel like you're playing, don't you?
But he's doing his work once.
And you're
right. He's doing his work once, recording it, going back to what you're saying about doing your StreamYard or podcasting. It's like you do your thing once. And it's not like you have to do the same thing every day. If you have to play, you know, Hunk of Burning Love from Elvis Presley every single day, you'll still laugh. But if you had to play that every single day, no, you're going to get bored with it. You need to do something different. So he's done it all, prepackaged it. He's put the work.
Well, the thing that's interesting is that everyone wins here. Like,
go ahead.
The thing that works here is that everyone wins. From Carol's point of view, she spent $13 a month to learn to play guitar in an environment where that would have cost her $100 to go to someone else. Mm-hmm. So she wins. The guy wins because he's done the work once and now he's getting this repeat income, which is why I want this is why I want businesses to start thinking about this model, this repeat model. You know, you make it once and then suddenly you're making $13 a month recurring income, as long as that person's starting to play guitar, or $100 a year. And, you know, you're making these little bits and pieces of $100, but you don't have to actually do any extra effort. You make all of the effort front up at the front, and then suddenly it rolls into itself.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely fascinated by this because we were, as I said, we were in lockdown for 120 days and we couldn't go more than 5Ks from our house.
Wow.
And we had to wear a mask every time. We had a curfew at 8 o'clock at night. Wow. You know, in a Western country, we had a curfew at 8 o'clock at night. And picking up on that, this cafe, which I love, which is 10 minutes from my house, walking distance, on the day, this is genius. This is probably the most amazing story of a business adjusting to COVID.
Mm.
When on the day that the government announced there would be a curfew, this company went and got the URL Curfood. Curfood.com.
That's funny.
And they told everyone in the area. Isn't that clever?
That's smart.
And they said, we will deliver to you. We'll suck up the load because we can still work. You know, you can't come to us because it's by 8 o'clock, it's dinner time and you can't get there. So we'll deliver to you. Yeah. Just go to curfood.com and order your food and we'll deliver it. That's genius.
That is amazing. And so many people, I mean, in this country, we are allowed to get cocktails curbside, which was illegal before. So a lot of the laws that we had these stupid laws got thrown out the way. But this is the thing. We have challenges as business owners and entrepreneurs, and I believe, and unfortunately, there's sadness that comes with that. People lose jobs. Obviously, people lost lives during COVID and still to this day. But challenges like this breed creativity. We have to have challenge. Creativity feeds off of challenge, and it's exciting to me.
Yeah.
To see what are people, like you're saying, what are businesses doing? What are people that have had these dreams of owning a business suddenly going out and doing it because they had to. They got pushed into a corner to go and do what they had in their soul. And I think that's beautiful about what's happening now. And our landscape is changing. It's cool.
Well, and businesses are rethinking, did we really need the 25 cubicle office space?
Yeah.
Where people could have been working from home all along. You know, this whole thing of we all have to drive 45 minutes, an hour, spend the time and the gas and the frustration of freeways in America. Thank you very much. And arrive at your workplace, hopefully on time, get your free cup of coffee that tastes
the cafe.
And then coffee, go to work in your little cubicle for, you know, 8 hours. And then, but when you think about it, now suddenly in this country, at least, we are finding out that with the internet, we could have been working at home all along, whether that's your choice or not, because some people might find working at home. Well, let's just say there's no more office affairs.
Certainly the businesses are saving lots and lots on rent, aren't they? They're saving a lot on office space.
They're saving on rent. They're saving on insurance. They're saving on a lot of things. But the playing field is open now for, well, wait a minute, what if a person is working at home and falls down or something? Is that the office insurance? Is it the home insurance? There's gray areas.
But that's part of change. There's always gray areas.
There's a whole lot of real estate. Exactly. There's gray areas, and that's the exciting part, because there's a whole lot of things that are going to change, because there's a lot of people finding out that they can stay home and do their job. And there's a lot of companies realizing, oh, I can sell this office building. I really don't need it.
Yeah. Back in 2000, I haven't worked for the man, so to speak. I haven't worked a full-time job since 2006.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was working at the university, the college, I, as I said, I was spending an hour and a half on the train, getting two trains to get to a job that I could have easily done at home.
Yeah.
But it wasn't available to me. And it was such, I mean, I remember coming home at 5 at night thinking, what am I doing here? I'm stuck on this tin can full of people and I'm wasting an hour of my life. I could have been at home by now. I mean, I could have been going for a walk, or could have been riding a bike, or I could have walked on the beach, or I could have been doing more work.
Isn't it funny how the whole world shifted into that kind of lifestyle, and suddenly this disease pandemic has made us totally rethink, why did we go there in the first place?
It's about,
we could have
quality
all been
of life.
Working.
It's quality of life. It's quality of life. In closing, Keith, because I know we've gone all around the world with this today. Right? We're really good at staying on topic. But this is important. With the pandemic, I think social media had another bump of growth because everyone is in the pandemic. We weren't seeing each other. So Zoom became a household name. And also, while they became a household name, gave other platforms a run for their money. And now we have competition, which is great. And we hope we have more competition in the marketplace, not just with all of these platforms, but also for people opening up shopping carts and websites to sell online. Excuse me, I'm coughing. There's a storm coming in. I cough when there's clouds. It's weird. But if people need to be able to still do their own thing shopping cart wise, and Amazon is not necessarily the best. And I know authors, I know people with products that are having issues. And so I think we're getting to a space where social media is growing. We have different avenues and competition is good. Everyone can find their niche, their club, their community, and it's going to grow. And I think through that, maybe small business has a better chance of going forward in a way, if we utilize those outlets, even though they're still owned by the man. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to say that I think we can see a better future for the small business person than what we have in the last 10 years. I'm saying from this country perspective, I think it's going to get better. I just feel that, you know.
Well, there's just a lot of choice, you know. So, for instance, StreamYard is $25 a month. You can have a
you
TV quality show.
We're going there. We will do it. I swear to God, we're going to do it.
No, that's okay. I mean, you'll get there when you get there. Run the world. Let me talk about Run the World.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Runtheworld.today. So the tools are there. This is what I'm saying. The tools are there. StreamYard allows you to do a TV quality show to get the word out about what you do for about $25 a month, which is much cheaper than an ad in the paper, if they even still do that. So the idea of where that goes is that Run the World, which is what we've discovered, runtheworld.today allows you to have these really lovely events, which you've been to. And what it does is for the first 50 people, it's completely free. So you can get your feet wet and you can go, actually, this is quite fun. It's easy to use and I quite like doing this. And then if you're really liking it, you can have up to 500 people for $79 a month. Just charge them $1 and you've made your money back. So the tools are there to try these things. And a lot of them have free versions, what we call freemium. You just try it. If you like it, you stick with it. If you don't like it, you've lost a little bit of time. But more importantly, this is what your customer wants. Your customer wants to hear about your Pekingese dog. They want
to
hear what it eats and what it sounds like when it snorts and what color its fur is.
Yeah, Nancy, what's the snort?
We're back
tell
to
us
the
about Pekingese. The snort.
But you know what I mean? Just to go complete circle.
Yeah.
People want to hear your story. Sure, they want your coffee and your croissants, but they also want to hear what your dog's name is and how your kids are going. And so these sites they're very, very cost effective.
You know,
and they're very easy to use.
I want to just, in closing, talk about this because this was way back when, before Blog Talk. No, it was at the beginning of Blog Talk. I had a client that ran a wedding business. She had a location and was weddings. And I said, well, she was nervous about doing Blog Talk Radio, radio stuff. And so I went over to her location and sat down with a recorder and recorded wedding tips and said, well, let's just do this. And she had a glass of wine. It was noon, I promise. And I just asked her one thing, let her go, and she would do these little tips. And we ran them on our shows, and we put them on our website. And the next time I saw her, she said, you know how nervous I was about that, having a glass of wine to calm myself down. She said, you know what the weirdest thing is? People booked weddings because they said they heard her voice and felt relaxed and like they were hearing a friend. And so when they met her, they heard her voice as the interview podcast. And this is before podcasting really was anything. And they said they could make this personal connection. And this wasn't video. This was just audio. And audio is still the biggest deal. Most importantly,
she got business from it. She got actual business.
It helped her close her deals. It helped her, to put it in real business sense, it was about that. They had that personal connection before they drove out to view the premises.
People want to do business with people they know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to feel that personal connection. And people, we have to. It's like we don't want to do the video thing because we're always... We travel full time. We're not well dressed, we can't be. We have the same wardrobe. I mean, we live out of a suitcase, but that's it. And people actually want to know that. They want to know about our rest area, how we travel. And one day we will do our rest area radio show, where you can see where we hang out with truckers.
Restarearadio.com. Restarearadio.com.
It's going to happen.
Go and grab that URL today.
I know. Get it now. And then we'll do it on StreamYard. We're going to do the StreamYard.
Radio.
I know. Look at him.
I'm going to write that down.
Don't you dare steal it. Don't you steal it, Keith. Do I have to come over to Melbourne?
No, I'm not. I'm giving it back to you.
Yeah, I know. They won't let me in. They won't let us into Melbourne yet, will they? That's not going to happen.
Until July 2022.
Wow. No,
so... rest area radio, because we spend a lot of time in rest areas when we drive, because we've driven across the country so many times, and we have what we need in our car.
Yeah.
And if you park at a hotel, your car is there with everybody else's car, maybe secure, maybe not. It's more secure when we're in it. So we spend time in rest areas and we see
everything.
How can I say this? We see a lot, but truckers make this country move because they move product from one place to another.
Yeah.
And if you ever felt you were in trouble, you can call a trucker. Because they're right there. They're steadfast. They're professional drivers. Not all of them, of course, but for, I would say, 98%, they got your back.
Oh, man. My heart.
And
it's a nice safe space, isn't it?
When you go to rest areas, you see the truckers, and then you see...
travelers.
What?
The travelers. You see the truckers and the travelers. The tourists that are traveling across country or traveling.
The thing that's really interesting about what you're saying there, Nancy, have this URL, rest area radio. Have you got it? Because you need, it'll cost you $10. Just you need to get that today and use it as a hashtag, rest area radio.
Yeah, because we wanted to go interview the truckers because they see everything on the road. Like what we see on the road, they see even more.
Keith, should we do radio shows live from the rest area? What do you think? Do people want to see the actual trucks?
Well, I'm talking about radio now, so no visuals. But
would you want?
There's a couple of ideas there. The sound quality inside the cab of a car, inside the actual car, is like you've got this self-contained ecosystem.
Yeah,
I've seen people doing podcasts inside a car because it sounds so good.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can get equipment to work when you're sitting down. But you've got an idea, and this is a really good case in point for Twitter. You could go and get the URL restarearadio.com. And that could lead to a SoundCloud file or whatever. But then you could actually have the hashtag, we can have this on another show, Rest Area Radio. And that means every time you do a show, you put that hashtag there. So people know wherever they are in the world, they go, let's go to Rest Area Radio hashtag and see what's going. What are they up to? It's like a filing cabinet. It keeps all of your shows in one place.
Yeah.
It's very clever. It's such a clever way to use Twitter because I have the URL virtually unlimited TV as a hashtag. So all of the shows that I've done thus far are listed in one place. If you go there today as an experiment, they're all there. No one else is using that, so they're all mine.
It's a very handy way. It's a very accessible way of SEO for people doing hashtags. Hashtags are like a universal code of it's a language. It's a new language, I think, hashtags.
It's an easy way to find things.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Keith, thank you for joining us. Even though we go in and out on the internet here, we're still here. We've made it happen.
No worries.
But it's been awesome. It's been awesome to connect with you and looking forward to the next event with you and Doyle. When is that? It's at the end of July. Are people out to know about
that? Yeah, it's all. I think we pretty much do the last Thursday of the month, the last Wednesday for you. So our next event is the 28th of July for you. Yeah. At I think it's 7 p.m. Pacific. No, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m.
How do people find out about it? Is there a website?
With the events are a little bit impromptu at the moment because we're just building this idea. But if you follow me on Twitter, at Keith Keller on Twitter, I'm constantly tweeting about what's coming up.
Perfect.
But if you want to find out what's happening with the TV show, I do have a URL for that, and that is virtuallyunlimitedtv.com.
Okay.
And the hashtag is virtuallyunlimitedtv. So all of those shows, which are free and once a week, feed into the event.
Okay.
So if you follow the TV show, it will tell you about when the events are on. It's not a TV show. It's a YouTube channel, but it looks like TV, right?
Exactly.
We've got all this tech at our disposal to make it look like TV.
Yeah,
I know. So we're on TV right now.
And it's universal.
Yeah, we are. Zoom TV.
And universal.
If you're hungry, get this cup.
This
cup has nutritious things in it. You can drink it. That's my commercial.
Your cup went into the clouds. It's very interesting.
I know.
Why did it do that? Because we don't have a true green screen. You have to have a true green screen in the back. But as we travel, there's no way. There's so limited room of what we do.
Well, please send me the file because one of my other superpowers is video editing. So I'll edit out some really cool snippets and send them back to you.
Okay. Oh, that's dangerous. You never want Nancy to do that because she's into animation now and you never know if she could make
that. Wow, okay. Well, that's another thing.
Let's
set an intention to do part two
where we
talk about how the event went, how LinkedIn Live's going, maybe pick up on animation.
Yes,
because there's a lot going on here and I've been doing this since 2006, so I've learned a few things around the block, and we want to share what we know and keep people moving. We want people to succeed, don't we?
That's it, especially now. I think it's so important. I'm really on this thing about small business moving forward. I'm really passionate about it.
Absolutely.
Got to this country in 93. I remember, just left South Africa. I was in my... I don't think I was even 21 yet, and I'm still 21 now.
No.
But anyway, I remember, I was getting, Small Business Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, and everything. And at that point, 49% of America was small business. So I want to know where we are now.
Yeah.
Those magazines were talking about it, and I felt all excited. In South Africa, we were actually pretty open. Small business was it. We had the free market system. Pretty much, and you could speak openly about business. There was this, I'm going to sell you something. It's cool. Check this out. It was a whole different thing. And you had to learn the different cultures as well. You don't go and if someone's Muslim, you don't go in at noon and try and sell them something. You know, there's just different cultures. And this country to me was just a whole culture shock of how business was run. And right now I feel like we have to take it back. We have to, small business entrepreneurs, it's like this new season for all of us globally to unite. And we can use social media, whatever platform it is, we can use social media to connect and learn from each other and move forward together and also prosper in business. And it's important that we understand technology. We cannot hide from it. Yeah. You could be the best person in your... you could be the best at what you do. But if you do not embrace technology and social media and the internet, you're not going to get out there. You can't be the best musician on the planet and play guitar in your room and want to sell your music if you stay in your room. And this is why you can't stay in your room, actually.
It's a good analogy.
You could stay in the room if you had the computer in there. You know, you could. So it does work. But that's my point. I just want people to have some personal success and not have to do it through the channels that take all your money. That's my point. And I'm sticking to it. So, Keith, thanks again. Say, give everybody your websites again so everyone knows.
Okay, so keithkeller.com.au. Don't forget the AU. Okay. And at Keith Keller on Twitter. That's where I mostly hang out. And please come and join me on Twitter. If you're not using it yet, don't worry. There's still 300 million people there. It's worth doing. I've got plenty of resources there to show you how to do that. And I'm very happy to help in whatever way I can.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air our show Sunday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we're on every single podcast platform I think you can list. We're there because we know about distribution. And we love you guys. Thank you so much, everyone. Take care. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
See you later.
Yeah.
Awesome. We did make it happen. We're done. Oh, no.